Yes, sir. What's your name?
Oleg.
Oleg. Nice to meet you.
Place. And
Everybody, he is worthy of it all. And we are not. That's the whole thing right there. We are not. We are not without him. With Jesus, we are. With Jesus, we become worthy. Without Jesus, we are not. There is no hope. There is no salvation. There is no eternity. Well, there's eternity, all right, but it's not going to be the eternity that you want. And the saddest part about all of that is 99% of the people on this planet don't even know it. They might have heard it before. They might have heard somebody preaching the gospel before. They might have been told by somebody that loves them before, but they can't be bothered with that. After all, there's a music concert coming to town. There's a big event that we've got to go to this weekend. You know we've got to rush home and do nothing, right? We tend to be the center of our own universes, thinking that the world and the universe revolves around us so much so that we don't even take the time to take off the blindfold. And that is why Jesus said on the cross, "Forgive them, Lord. They know not what they do." I want to say thank you all very much for being here this morning. Welcome to Rise Up, episode number 342. It is the 8th of May, year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2024. I almost said 2042. We don't want to go that fast, Eli. Slow it down. Slow it down. It's not 2042. But it is, it's so heartbreaking that when you go out into the world as a child of God, and you see so many potentials, so much hope for humanity. And almost every time, they disappoint. Almost every time you go out into public, you are disappointed. Kittenhead said, Rumble removed Rise Up from my list and unfollowed your channel. Yeah, it happens sometimes. Rumble doesn't mean to do that. And that's why a lot of people aren't here right now. Usually we have about 1,200 people here already. And, you know, it's just the way of the world sometimes. But I do. I watch all these people. They're completely blindfolded. They don't have any clue as to any of this information that you and I are privy to. Now, it's not that they don't have the access to it. It's just because they ignore it. And it's really sad. And I also want you to really think about today's title of today's show, Breaking Free. Breaking Free. Because have you guys, how many people here have seen the movie The Matrix? I literally just saw one again the other day and kind of got back into it, but I really started thinking about it, and I'm like, is that a movie of the truth, or did the truth that we live now become part of the movie, like, change the world? Because it really seems like that's the world we're living in, folks. It really seems like that's the world we're living in, where 99.9% of the people are just docile, fat, and happy, aka don't want to know the truth. Or think they know the truth and don't want to hear anything else. You can't teach them anything. And if you did teach them this truth, the gospel, the good news, they wouldn't want it. They would rather go along living their life of, you know, fast food, video games, movies, events, and things that don't really matter. Godchick says, everybody is blind until one day they see. Bernadette said, that happened to me, but it was suddenly back, so blessed. Oh, you mean unfollowed. Okay, glad you're back, Bernadette. And this is why it is so important to make sure you're signed in every day. You might not even be following the page, and you're watching, and you're like, oh, I'm not even following. You make sure you're signed in every day by trying to click that thumbs up button. If you're not signed in, can't do it. If you can't sign in, or I mean, if you're not following the page, make sure that you are. So, I really want to talk about that today. I want to talk about breaking free, and I've spent this morning writing down a bunch of stuff that I just wanted to make sure that we got out today. Look at this right here. The Matrix is a documentary. There's a documentary called The Matrix. Oh, The Matrix. I got what you're saying. Yeah, you might be right. Venomous says, and some people go back to the old life, put their head in the sand on purpose, just like that dude in The Matrix. Yeah, remember, he wanted to eat steaks again. He didn't want to know anything about his real life. He didn't care. I saw The Matrix, couldn't get into it. Sci-fi isn't my thing. Watch it now. Watch it now that you know what the world is doing. And watch it now that the threat of AI is a real thing. That's all The Matrix is about. It's about control with AI. Control with the machines. Control with artificial intelligence. But the level of control that they go to and the things that they erase and the things that they hide is exactly what's going on now. But if you look at it from a biblical point of view, there are many references to Jesus in the movie The Matrix that I didn't know. I went back and watched it at my age now, 44, and I saw pictures of Jesus on the wall in different scenes. It is very, very, it's got a biblical message to it. Not that it meant to, not that it intended to, but it sure does. It sure does. So many people are happy in this world of lust and crime and hatred and sexual immorality and anxiety and fear and drunkenness and addiction. And they just, people love it. They love it. River Rat says, it's crazy how movies have some truth to them. Well, Eli and I have always been big movie buffs. His dad owned a movie theater. We've been into, you know, we really have wanted to always make our own movies and everything. And we definitely have come to the conclusion many, many years ago that they brag about what they're doing and they tell us what they're doing in the real world in movies. And if you pay attention, you'll see it. It's called predictive programming. That's what it is. But when you look at it from a biblical point of view, people are happy being blindfolded. And I understand it. I was once blind too, and now I see. I hated Christians. I hated Christians and their pompous nose up in the air, I'm better than you personality. But it was never that. That was a lie. That was a lie that the devil was telling me and making me believe, all while saying, but look at that girl over there. Don't worry about the word of God. Don't worry about the good news. Look at that girl over there. Look at that person that called you a name. Look at this person that's trying to get you to fight them. Look at what this person's doing with your daughter. That's exactly right. Eli just made a good Matrix reference. When Matrix with Keanu Reeves. When Morpheus, played by, what's his name, Eli Fisher? Lawrence Fishburne. When Morpheus is walking with Keanu Reeves and he's talking to him and they're in the Matrix, right? They're in all of the fakeness, the world. And the girl, and everything looks dull, but the girl with the red dress walks by and Morpheus says, Neo, were you paying attention to what I was saying or were you paying attention to the girl in the red dress? That's what it's like. That's exactly what it's like. So if you're going to be rapture ready, you're going to have to learn how to break free from that. Now, we have a ton of different verses that we're going to go today. There was not just one verse, so you didn't get a one verse of the day. But we're going to talk about living in the present. That is basically living in the present, but breaking free from everything around us. That's what we're going to talk about today. U.S. Trump for life, Eli. They get it. Mr. Anderson. That's right. That's right. Don't be distracted, said CQ. Even the Bible tells us that more and more, over and over again. Keep your focus on me. Don't be distracted. What did Peter do? Eli, what did Peter do when he stepped out of the boat? He focused on the red dress and not on what was being said. He focused on what he shouldn't have been focused on, right through the water. Jesus had to come and save him. And the artist nailed it. Evil tells you what they're planning to do. It's like this. You know in movies when evil spirits and like vampires can't come into your house unless you invite them in? Well, that's what evil does. It tells you what it's going to do, and it sees if you open up your window, the eyes of your soul, the soul of your body, the windows to the soul of your body, it finds out how much you're willing to be open to. That's why I say garbage in, garbage out, right? It needs your permission. Watch the movie Nefarious. Nothing can make you do anything. That is the great thing about the ability of free choice that God gave you. Even God can't make you do something. And the devil sure as heck can't make you do anything. Everybody needs your permission. God needs your permission to accept him, to love him, to want to be in a relationship with him. The devil needs your permission to be blindfolded, to ignore the things that you're supposed to keep your focus on. To look, oh, squirrel, lady in the red dress. Everything needs your permission. It is your ultimate power that God gave you. Even God doesn't override your power that he gave you. Think of that. That means you have the power of God made in his image to be able to make a choice. Do you want to live lied to, docile, fat, happy, in sin, pleasing your flesh, digging the grave to your eternal life in heaven and hell? Do you want to keep doing that? Because guess what? God even allows you to do that. God doesn't send anybody to hell. You choose to get on the bus. You choose to buy the ticket. You choose to get on the train. You choose that one-way ticket to hell. God doesn't send you anywhere. It is your ultimate power. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, today we are on a very, very important mission to dig down deep, to really break people free. And I know I'm using a lot of movie references. I see them no different as analogies or parables, things that people can understand. And I thank you for directing me back to certain things like this so I go back and watch these movies or read these books or talk to these people that I talked to in my past, God, and so I can get a better and a different perspective of it. Looking at it from your point of view rather than my point of view for the first time in my life, seeing so many things that I never saw before. Things are revealed to me that I never would have been looking to before because of you. If you broke me free from the matrix of this world, then we can break everybody free. Question is, are we trying hard enough? That's what you weigh on my heart a lot. Am I doing all I can do? Do I really want to break people free of this world and the slavery that they are accustomed to and inviting every day, happy to be slaved? How can we break them free? Well, you give us that answer. And it's the gospel and focus on that gospel. Lord, I don't know who needs to hear this today, but clearly people do. And I thank you so much for using me as the instrument with the Holy Spirit inside to get your message out today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. USA for Trump, you choose your own destiny. So I choose God's way, and it's the right way. I agree. So here's what we're going to do today. Wrote some stuff down for you. Here we go. All right, what do we got here? We've got a good crowd here. Make sure, again, you guys are signed in. And if you haven't done so yet, this is your friendly neighborhood reminder to click that thumbs up. Turn that little area green. I'm not taking red pills or blue pills, Eli. I'm taking God pills. Let's get to it. Here we go. When the devil keeps pushing you, urging you, tempting you, asking you, because the devil will do that. The devil will make you feel like he's your friend and that it's sincere what he's trying to get you to look at, what he's trying to get you to do. When the devil keeps pushing you to look into your past, or into things that happened in the past. Ready for this? There is something in your future that he does not want you to see. How many people live with guilt watching the show? How many people here live with guilt? How many people here say woulda, coulda, shoulda? How many people here look in the past, and how many people here are heartbroken because of an act that they did in the past? A thing that they said to somebody in the past, a relationship that they ruined in the past. If I only did this, this would have been better. How many of you, and be honest, are focused on something in the past that's keeping you from looking towards the future today? Jeremy, Scotty needs you to pray for him. I pray for Scotty every day, all day. I pray for all of you every day, all day. Get out your Bibles, pray for each other. That's what I say. Get out your Bibles, pray for each other, all day, every day. If that's you, if you're focused on something in the past Raise your hand. Let it be known today. Somebody said the devil is charming. Home Skillet said the devil is charming. Oh, he is. Boy, is he. MDUSMC says, I used to feel guilty, but Jesus, amen. Guy Chick says, guilt is a tool of the enemy. Yes, it is. Michelle Curl says, heartbroken. See, there you go. I like that. You brought out the one that nobody's talking about. Guilt is easy to talk about. What about being heartbroken? Why are you heartbroken? What happened? Michelle, what happened? Something happened that broke your heart. It's not happening now because your heart's already broke. Your heart isn't breaking. It's broke. What happened? And whatever it is that happened, the devil is the one having you focus on that. The devil is the one that is carving your heart in two. God isn't doing that. The Holy Spirit isn't doing that. Jesus isn't doing that. Nobody in your life is doing that. You're allowing that. Now, I'm not saying that you're weak or anything like that. I'm just saying we're all there a lot. And it is of the devil. It is of the devil. That's exactly what he wants you to focus on, is your heart being broke. You know how your heart can't be broke? Is when you're in a relationship with Jesus. When you're in a true relationship with Jesus, your heart can never be broke. Now, you can be hurt. You can feel disrespected and unloved. But there is no way your heart can break if you're in a relationship with Jesus. And if your heart is broke, mend it today. Whatever that was, it was in the past. Guess what? It is in the past. And the devil wants you to focus on that because there's something in your future that he does not want you to see. He does not want you to focus on it. Michelle said, my family is divided from each other and they won't make effort to find God. Show them better than you can tell them. If they're not going to make an effort, then make an effort for all of them. Put more work in. Publicly go out there and start preaching if you have to. But either way, it's not up to you to do as much work as you can to bring them to God. Plant seeds, be there, but go on your journey with Jesus. If they're left behind, divided and heartbroken, I don't want to say that's not your problem, but I'm going to say it. It's not your problem. Your problems aren't even your problems. Give them to Jesus. They become his problems. He takes care of them. If they are unwilling to give it to Jesus, trust me, I have a family that is so unwilling to give anything to Jesus or to even acknowledge that he's real or that he existed as a man, that he exists in the spirit today. There is so many of my family members that I have just, it's not like I've given up on them, but I have got a journey to go on. I got to go. I've got a ticket. Jesus is with me. He's got a ticket. It says now. It doesn't say later. I got to go. Honey, I want you to come with me. Sweetie, I want you to come with me. Father, mother, son, daughter, cousin, I want you guys to be with me on this journey, but I can't wait for you. I'm sorry, I've got to go. This isn't a leave no man behind situation. It's not up to me. It's up to you. This is where your power comes in. We're not on the battlefield in World War II where I can grab you and physically take you off. You have got to make the spiritual decision to do so. But I've got to go. Give me a kiss. I love you. Are you coming? No? Okay. I got to go. I'll love you. I'll never forget you. I hope you can make the next train coming through. I got to go. That's what you got to do. Wayne says, I feel guilty for not spending time with my daughter from working way too much. So do I. So do I. If I'd have been there, maybe she wouldn't be in prison now. Maybe. Maybe not. Again, you didn't make the choice for her to go to prison. I wrote a song once. Eli probably remembers it. And it was called Still Breathing. And it was about me letting everything go. And finally letting go of the past. And in that song, I said, Actually, it was two songs. It was Still Breathing and Giving Up. Why You Giving Up on Me? I think that was the name of it, right, Eli? Giving Up on Me or something like that. I said, I did it to myself and I can never change the past. Nobody did it to me. As bad as a life I had, I did it to myself and I can never change the past. And I said, I went through hell and back to make it right. And now I'm telling you that to make you right. Because there's nothing more powerful than putting feelings on a piece of paper. They empower you. When you look at things outside the box and you stop thinking me, me, me. I was humbled really quick when I was in prison and the world went on without me and forgot about me. I realized at that moment, the world definitely doesn't revolve around me. Now, I know that Jesus was my cellmate, but I didn't know that then. I wish I would have. But it's not our choices that our kids make. And maybe if we were there more, they would have made this choice or made that choice. I say that to myself all the time. But you want to know something? I got physically beaten, abused. I got verbally abused. I got emotionally abused. I had parents that were drug addicts. I had two sets of parents who did not want anything to do with me ever. And I blamed them for everything that happened to me for years until I wrote that song. I did it to myself and I can never change the past. But I would never change the past either. I would never go back. Ever. If somebody said it, would you go back and change the decisions that you made? Nope. No, I wouldn't. I would not. But again, I don't think about it anymore. Because I'm looking at the future now. I'm not looking at I used to wake up in sweats, like PTSD, I would assume. I don't know. I used to wake up in sweat thinking that I was still back in prison and that everything that I did out after I got out was just a dream. I used to wake up in the middle of the night thinking I was still in, like I was still in prison. And going, oh my gosh, the kids were a dream. Everything was a dream. The podcast, the show, my family, my friends, everything was a dream. I'm back here in prison. I used to wake up in sweats until I realized that was the devil. And I said, you son of a gun. You got me. You tricked me. He is trying to frustrate you. Because he knows that God has a plan for you to fight this battle and to win. That's why he's got you heartbroken thinking on things of the past. That's why he's got you thinking about that person who hurt you or said something wrong to you. That's why, right there. He's trying to frustrate you because he knows that God has a plan for you to fight this battle and to win. He wants you to have fear and to worry about what could possibly be next. He does this so that you cannot enjoy what's happening now, the present. That's why he does this. So what does God say about the present? Well, let's go and see. Matthew 6:34. You might want to just go back and look into these later because you're not going to be able to go through as quick as I'm going to say them. Army Dog says, I feel guilty for my son taking his own life at 17. If I could have just done more. That's, wow. Yeah. Yeah. But I think the devil wants you to believe that you took your son's life. Maybe not directly, but indirectly. And God is telling you, I gave everybody a choice. There are consequences of those choices. Yes, there are consequences of not being there for our children. and having quality time with them over quantity. Yeah, there are consequences. But again, what is about to happen in your future, or what is in your future that the devil wants to keep you away from? Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for its day and its own trouble. Isaiah 43:18-19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of the old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. The devil can't do new things. The devil can't create. The devil is a liar. The devil can't make anything. The devil is the government. The devil is the United States government that's never had a job, never created anything, never made a dollar, never had a payroll, doesn't know anything, just takes. The devil is the government. The devil is Bernie Sanders. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. Ephesians 5:15-16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. The days of what? The world, the matrix. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. James 4:14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to the control that this world has over 99.9% of its inhabitants, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And finally, Philippians 3:13-14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God never talks about focusing on the past, ever. There's not one verse, there's not one word, there's not one sentence in the Bible where God says, you know, you should really focus on what happened in the past. Remember that thing that happened to you? Yeah, think about that. Never. Never. The devil is a liar. Stop worrying. Stop with the fear. Stop with the anxiety. Always focus on God and every single day that he has given you. If you look back, you'll see that every situation that God has brought you into has either changed you, helped you grow, made you stronger, taught you a lesson, or made you genuinely a better person. Everything that he does for you has a purpose. Everything. Even death around you has a purpose. God's plan is always the best plan. Always. How many of you have said before, if I only knew then what I know now? If I only knew then what I know now, then I wouldn't have X, Y, and Z. Now that might work when you're talking about big events. If I only knew what prison was going to be like then, I wouldn't have went out that day. Okay, well then the next day you would have went out and went to prison because it was the plan. Yeah, you made a choice, but one way or another, you were going to go through a rough time at that time in your life because God needed to teach you something, so he was going to allow you to make these choices. Here's the other thing. If I only knew then what I know now, only works when you're talking about big events. You want to know why? Because if you're talking about small things, if I only knew then what I know now, well, here's my question. How much of that have you applied to your life? I bet only major decisions, major things. If I only knew then what I know now. Well, you know what? Things that bothered me when I was 15 are still there today. I just have to be wary of them. I have to know what my triggers are. I have to know what situations to allow myself to be in or not. If we're not applying, if I knew then what I know now, to the smallest things in our life, then it does, don't even say it. Don't even say it. Because here's some things I can say. If I only knew 10, 20 years ago that pride would cost me everything, including the love of people that I loved very much. So what do I do today? How do I apply that today? I look at myself as worthless without Christ. I am nothing without Christ. I am about as worthless as a dead bug on the floor without Christ. I have to remember that every day. If I only knew when I was 20 years younger that being jealous of everything that my significant other did was going to drive them into the arms of another man by constantly saying that they were cheating on me because I had fear that they were. Well, you know what I don't do today? I don't have fear that people are out to screw me over. I don't have fear or anxiety that people are out to do the worst to me. And if they do the worst to me, there's nothing I can do about that. Why treat them differently on a hypothetical? That hypothetical is brought to you by the devil. So when you say, if I only knew then what I know now, apply it to the smallest things like feelings, how you react to things, what situations you're in, how you talk to people, how you treat people, how you come off to people. Those are the things that we need to make sure we focus on. Sometimes the process is painful. Sometimes the process is really hard that we're going through currently. But don't forget, when God is silent, that's when he's doing something big for you. Trust in God's plan always and remain unfazed, always. So when something bad happens to me now, when something triggers me, I go, here we go. And I look up and I smile in my head and I go, what are you trying to teach me? And when I put God in the beginning of it, nothing bad happens. And I have a story for you. Ready for story time? Here we go. Mary, you're amazing too. The other day, I was tested big time. I like to tell you my real life stories, folks. I like to tell you my real life testings. The other day, I went into the local gas station, Cumberland Farms, or if you're in New England, we call it Cumbies. Right, Eli? If somebody says, I'm going to Cumberland Farms, you go, where are you from? You're not from here. You're going, where? We call it Cumbies. So I went into Cumbies. Now, Cumbies has this policy that when you walk in, anybody who's working in there is to acknowledge that you walked in. Hey, how you doing? How you doing today? Welcome. Whatever it is. Now, if I walk in and somebody doesn't acknowledge me, even though I'm used to it, it doesn't bother me in any way. I'm just like, oh, that's weird. They usually do it. Anyway. So the other day, I'm going to my son's soccer game. I got my daughter and my son, Shaylin and Jaden, and we walk into Cumbies, and there's a guy that I see there all the time. All the time. Genuinely, he's a decent guy, but you could tell he's got a rough life. And he's sitting there, and it's so weird what happened. Now, I'm wearing my Forgiven hat. Forgiven, my hat that says Forgiven, and then it says has a verse over here. I'm wearing my Forgiven hat. And I walk in, and he's standing there like this. Walk in with my kids. Hey, man, how you doing? Here's his response. Okay. Maybe he's having a bad day today. Now, when I wear anything God-wise, everybody's always staring at me all the time. So I go in, I go over to the drink things, I get a couple waters, my kids get whatever, the Gatorades or whatever. We come back to the counter, and there's two registers. The register over here that I'm not going to, that doesn't have that weird guy in it, or the guy that was looking at me weird, there's a guy in that line over there whom I know. He's a construction worker here in town. And I walked up, and I go like this, and I'm waiting in line to go to the guy that was looking at me all weird. Now, the person that was paying above in front of me, he wasn't talking to them either. He was just standing there being rude. And it wasn't even like he was having a bad day where he's just like down. He was being downright weird and rude, like he was on drugs or something. He's just staring at people, right? So they pay and they leave. And I walk up. Now, I always pray that nobody sets me off because I don't want that to happen, right? It's like the Hulk, right? I don't want to turn green. So I got my hat on that says forgiven, and I walk up. And me, anybody who knows me, they know I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. I'm always joyful. I'm always like, hey, what's happening, blah, blah, blah. Always looking for small talk. My wife hates it. I walk up to him, and he's like this. And he's got the gun that beeps things, you know, to scans things. And I walk up, and I go, hey, man. And I put the stuff down, and he's standing there, and he's like looking at me like this. Beeping the things, scanning the things. And I go, I go, Lord, please, maybe he's just, yeah, whatever. I don't know what the reason is, but just keep me calm, right? So he rings it all up and doesn't even tell me what the total is. And I just put my card in. And he's just standing there. And I put my card in, do my whole PIN number thing. Wait for the receipt, takes off the receipt, hands it to me. I said, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. At this moment, I'm thinking he's going to say something, Eli, right? Thanks, man. I appreciate it, with a big smile on my face. And he just goes like this. And turns his head away. So I turn around and walk away. Now, Shaylin and Jaden were with me. And Jaden is like the most non-confrontational person in the world. He hates when I become, you know, confrontational. So I turned to walk away, and something just went, you know. So I look back at him. I'm at the door, standing in front of the door. People are trying to come in, and I'm standing in front of the door, and my kids are standing next to me, and I turn back, and I look at him, and I go, hey, man, are you all right? I was genuinely concerned with him. A little upset, a little annoyed, but I really was when I said, hey, man, are you all right? He goes like this, out of the blue. He goes from this to this. Yeah, man, I'm fine. Like I just woke him up. Yeah, man, I'm fine. I said, are you sure you're fine? Yeah, I'm great. Why? I said, because you don't look well. I said, matter of fact, you look half dead. Now, I don't know if you're having a bad day, but you get to be at a job and you get to make money, and you're alive. I said, put a smile on your face. At least pretend, but don't sit there like that. And then I walked out, and I said, man, the state of the world these days. And I walked out. So then I get in my truck, and I go to leave, and the guy that I know, the construction guy, he comes out. Now, by the way, when I'm doing this, the whole store stops. There's like probably 10 people in there. Everybody stops. They think there's going to be an argument or a fight. And so I go to leave, and the guy comes out, and I said, I rolled down my window, and I said, am I wrong here? Was I in the wrong for saying that the way I did? Did I come off in any way like I was mad? And he goes, no, you weren't in the wrong. He said he was doing the same thing to me when I walked in. I almost dragged him over the counter and beat the hell out of him, he said. I'm like, all right, well, okay. But the reason I tell you the story is because when I left, I felt so bad for that guy. The Matrix has him. The world has this guy. And I don't know if he's got a demon inside and he saw my hat that said forgiven and it sent him into a thing or what. But what I do know is most people that I run into and during a day, I get that vibe that they are just absolutely lost, desperate, anxious, scared, fear everywhere, up and down. Now, my son and my daughter and everybody says, why do you feel the need to say something to people? And I said, why do you feel the need not to? That's what I'm called to do. I am called to stand up and be, even at the very least, a voice of reason, accountability, a voice of reason, and dialogue. That's what I am good at doing. That's what I'm called to do. I can't let that stand. A, I can't let that stand in a professional manner, because how dare you sit there at your job where you're getting paid by this company and treat people like garbage. B, I cannot sit and let somebody who looks that far lost and gone stay gone without at least saying something to them, without at least offering an ear or conversation or the ability to defend themselves or to explain themselves or anything, because dialogue could open up something that's just great. I could plant seeds, something. It is impossible for me to walk down an alley, walk down a street, walk into a store and see injustice and not become part of it. It is impossible for me. It's like a moth to a flame. I'm like a magnet to bad situations. I don't know what it is. But I do know that it really does bother me to see the world so lost, so focused on the bad in their life or the past in their life, not focusing on the good or the future, anything. And if you choose to be like me, if you choose to do the things that I do, whether you are openly talking about God or whether you're openly saying, holding somebody accountable, and not in a disrespectful way, but the world needs people to stand up. It really does. Do you know who's happier more than anybody in the world that my wife and my family are moving away from here? The town. The town hates us. School board hates us. Community center hates us. I coached at the community center for multiple years. We had the best teams. And the children will tell you it was the best time they ever had playing sports in the community. The community center hates us. The school board hates us. The school hates us. The city council hates us. The city hates us. The mayor hates us. People hate us. Elite stuck up in the air booster moms and dad hate us. Why? We donate time. We donate money that we don't have some of the times. We're always trying to do something better. The reason why they hate us here in this town and why they are so happy to see us go is because we stand up and we say things when others won't. That's why they hate us. Period. Luke 21, 17 through 19. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. You will win life. Everyone will hate you because of me. Luke 21, 17 through 19. But not a hair on your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. Jennifer says, how do you know everybody in your community hates you? What have you all done? You know when the community hates you. You know when you go to community events, and when you go to soccer games, or when you go to football games, or when you go to anything that the community is doing and the way people treat you and talk about you, and you can hear them talking behind your back. You know what people say about you if you live in a place long enough. That's just what it is. The first part, they hate me mostly because of Trump. They hate me because I paid Trump's bill that they tried to stick him with at this town for $200-something, you know, 8 years ago. They hate us because we go to school board meetings and tell them where they're wrong and stand up. They hate us because we get lawyers involved when they do wrong things in the school in this community. They hate us because we went to court over them trying to take out the nativity scene in the town square, and we went to court and fought that. They hate us because of all of that. And I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Because I'm not, like I said, I'm performing for an audience of one. I do not care. If I know I'm in the right, and I'm not saying that in a prideful way, if I know I'm in the right and I know that that is what God wants me to do, I just got to make sure one thing, that I don't go above and beyond what God wants me to do. And I don't do it in a terrible and disrespectful way. That's the thing that I got to stay focused on. So ladies and gentlemen, as we have 2 minutes left, I wish we had more time for the show, Eli. I really do. I wish I could go deeper. I want to go further. Ethich says, I live near Concord. Same vibe there too. Same stuff. So we're okay with it. And we're not even mad. Like, I'm going to be coming back here. This studio is staying here. It's not like I'm not coming back. We're probably going to come back here and retire here and die here. So it's not like we're coming back and not coming back. We love this area. But, man, they hate our guts. They really do. So the moral of today's show, folks, the end-all be-all here. Break free. 99% of the world is in bondage and in chains. Break free. Most of the world has no idea that they're enslaved. That's the worst part of it, Eli. Just like that movie we were just talking about. They have no idea that they're even enslaved. And that's why Jesus says, forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do. And how do you break free? You break free by not focusing on the stuff in the past. You break free by focusing on what God has for your future. You break free by telling your family and your friends and everybody around you, I love you, I wish you were with me for eternity, but I've got a plane to catch, I'm with Jesus, and I've got to go, because I'm rapture ready. Ladies and gentlemen, I love you. Mike Crispy and Unafraid come up next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. Hope today's show was good. I pray that the message was received, because I know I'm receiving it. Enjoy your Rise Up coffee, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll see you soon. God bless. Forsaken, the Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place.